The first reading today, St. Paul told the Corinthians that all graces have been given to them. That's quite a profound statement. And if all graces have been given to the Corinthians 2,000 years ago, that means all graces have been given to us, because God doesn't change. The question then isn't what God has given us. The question is, are we receiving it? And what are we doing with it? If God in His mercy has given us all grace, He's given us everything we need to become saints, everything we need to navigate our way through the situation in which we live. But we oftentimes forget. We don't turn to the Lord. We have to remember that even though He has given us all the graces, we have to choose to receive them. We have to open up our hearts to be able to receive the graces that He wants to give, and then we have to choose to cooperate with them. So if we look at it just in some practical ways, look at the grace that He's given to couples who are married, since most people here are married. On the day that you made your vows, God gave you every single grace that was going to be necessary for the entire course of your married life. Everything. All the struggles, all the difficulties, all the problems, whatever is going to come up, not only just between the two who are married, but with regard to your children and grandchildren and all the different things that will be happening. Every grace necessary is being offered. But how often do we even think to pray about that? How often do we dispose ourselves to receive the grace that God wants to give? We tend just to do it on the natural level without God's help. And if we change, I guess, the way that we might think about things, we usually say something, went in one ear and out the other. Well, maybe we can say with God's grace, it goes in one side of the soul and out the other, because we didn't open our hearts to receive it. He's giving it, but we aren't disposed to receive it. Even if we get even more practical about it, ask yourself, for instance, how often do you pray for your spouse? That should be a point that should be so obvious. All you need to do is go home and look in the mirror and say, my spouse has to live with me. Boy, I better pray for that person. A lot. But how often do we? We tend again just to take things for granted. Well, I'm there every day with them. Exactly why you need to pray for them, because you're there every day with them. But we just don't think of it. And so again, what God is trying to do is lift us up, giving us the grace to do everything on a supernatural level, and we just keep down here on the natural level. We don't open our hearts. We don't dispose ourselves to be able to receive the grace. Now, if we look at the gospel reading, putting this into the context of another sacrament, the Lord looks at this paralyzed man and says to him, pick up your pallet and go home. The people are amazed. But when He said before that, your sins are forgiven, the people were scandalized. So the Lord said, now, which is easier to say, pick up your mat and go home, or your sins are forgiven? St. Augustine said, it takes more divine power to forgive one venial sin than to create the entire universe. Now, God's power is infinite, so it's not like we're taxing Him, but nonetheless, putting it in that objective way of looking at it, it takes more to forgive one sin than to create the entire universe. So the point the Lord is making is it actually is much easier for God to be able to heal this man than it is to forgive our sins. But the people are wowed when somebody is healed physically. We just pay no attention when someone is healed spiritually. Because we could see that that person got up and walked. We can't see what happens to somebody's soul. But think about what happens to the soul. Think about the extraordinary nature of what God is doing just with that one grace to forgive our sins. If our sins could not be forgiven, that means one mortal sin would keep us out of heaven for eternity. We'd have no means of being able to get to heaven because our sins couldn't be forgiven. And if we committed a mortal sin, we've cut ourselves off from God. But what's happened is that because of what we've learned and what has gone on in our lives, we tend to take the forgiveness of sin for granted. We can't. Go back and look at what the apostles were writing about. This was something that was marvelous to them. It's like, we have the forgiveness of sin. This is something that was new. This was something that just blew them away, and it should us too. You and I have to forgive one another if we've done something against another or someone's done something to us. But we can't take the sin away. When God forgives your sin, it's gone. He destroys it. He literally removes it from your soul and destroys it so it will never, ever, ever, ever be heard of again. Ever. That is cause for rejoicing. That is an extraordinary grace that the Lord is giving to us, and we just take it for granted. Oh, no big deal. It's a huge deal. But again, so is the grace in marriage a huge deal. But how often do we look at that? Consider, again, the point that St. Paul made. All grace has been given. What are you going to do in just a few minutes when you come up here to the communion rail? You're going to receive the Lord. Now let's put this in perspective. In the Old Testament, they had the Ark of the Covenant. It was an acacia wood box that was covered with gold. And inside the box were the two tablets of the Ten Commandments, a little jar with some of the manna in it, and the staff of Aaron that had flowered. That was it. It was the holiest object that the people of Israel possessed. So holy that God said, if anyone touches the ark, they will die on the spot. And we have the story of when the Philistines had captured the ark and they're bringing it back in. The cart that it was on started to wobble. The two young men reached out to steady the ark and they died on the spot. Beyond that, we are told that no one can look upon the face of God and live. Even Moses, as holy as he was not able to look at God. Remember, he asked the Lord if he could do that, and the Lord said, no, I'll pass by, but I'm going to shield you when my face goes by so you can't see it. And you, in just a few minutes, are going to receive God into yourself. And you don't die when that happens. Now that by itself is pretty amazing, but then the other side of that question, because Jesus is God, he is grace itself. So literally every single grace is being given to you when you receive Holy Communion, because you receive God into yourself. So now the question is, what effect is that having on me? How am I disposed to receive him? Am I truly loving him as he's loving me? Think about that. He is giving you every grace that he would ever give to the world is right there in his person, and he's giving himself to you. So literally every grace is being given to you. How many people have we seen totally transformed? Yeah, I haven't noticed. Not pointing a finger because I haven't seen it in me either. So we're receiving God into ourselves and yet we're not being transformed by that. Every grace possible is being given and we're not receiving them. That tells us our disposition isn't where it needs to be. So think about that, because in a few minutes when you're going to receive Holy Communion, how are you preparing? Is the heart open? Or do we just go through the motions because we do this so often that, oh yeah, we just received communion and go back to the pew? Then what do you do when you get back to the pew? We're looking at everybody who's receiving communion? Oh, look who's here today. Oh, look what kind of clothes they, oh, look, so-and-so got a haircut. Who cares? You just received God. And we're more interested in the people? We've got it all upside down and backwards. It's no wonder we're not getting the graces, because we're not opening our hearts to receive them. But we have to also remember we need to ask. All the graces are there, but we have to open our hearts to receive them. We have to ask. We have to pray for the grace to conform ourselves to Christ, to cooperate with those graces. Again, bringing this back to the question of marriage, if all the graces that you would need in the course of your marriage are given in that sacrament, and they are, plus you receive all the graces right there in Holy Communion, we have to be able to look at it and see the Eucharist is the fruit of the tree of life. The tree of life is the cross. Marriage is about life. It's just like with Jesus dying and giving new life. Which means that your spouse is going to, well, put it the other way, for those of you who are married, the cross is going to look and feel just like your spouse. Now that's hard for some people to be able to accept, because I can't tell you how many times over the years I've heard, oh, we're not going to have any problems in our marriage because we're in love. Isn't that cute? Lasts about 2 weeks, you know, and then all but starts. But that's because that's how God's going to make married people saints. It was, oh, we're just a fairy tale thing and we're going to live happily ever after. There's no growth in holiness. So you need to be able to look at your spouse the way that Jesus looked at the cross. He longed for the cross. He didn't run from the cross. He didn't bristle before the cross. He embraced it. He loved it. And that's what we need to do too with the spouses. On the good days, that's easy, but on the difficult days, that's where the love grows the most. That's where you need to pray for the grace to be able to love this person. Think of our Lord's disposition toward the cross. Because of his love, our sins are forgiven. We are redeemed. We have life because of what he did on the cross. And the same is going to be true with that disposition in marriage. Not only does it transform the person, but you're obtaining the grace to love the other one, to give new life to that other one through your love. That's what God is offering. But again, how open are we to it? How disposed are we to receiving that grace? That's hard, because when things are difficult and you're angry at the other person, it's hard to think, yeah, I want to really love this person. I really want this person to receive new life from the grace that I can obtain by praying for them. Now, usually when we're upset with somebody, we don't always want their good. And if that's the case, it tells us that our love needs to grow a lot. Because to love means to do only what's best for the other one. And love is a virtue, remember, it's not an emotion. So So even on the difficult days, it continues to desire and to seek only the best for the other one. Not to get even, not to be vengeful, not to give them the silent treatment, not to pull away, to love, to seek, to serve, to be able to pour out one's life so the other one receives life, and so on. All those things need to happen all the time. Now, we've only talked about a couple of sacraments, but the same is true with the rest. Apply those things. Take them to prayer. Again, one of the things that we've just completely failed on is really allowing this stuff to transform our lives. We just go through our day-to-day life and people are so busy and so there's so much chaos in our lives that we don't take the time to pray. And we don't take the time to allow ourselves to be conformed to Christ. But how can we have the disposition of our Lord if we're not united with our Lord? These things sound really wonderful, but until we allow them in, until we take them to prayer and allow ourselves to be conformed to them, they're just going to be nice sounding things. It sounds like pious pabulum, but it's not. It's what God has for each one of us. He has given us all graces. Think about that. Again, it's been there for 2,000 years, so we just let it go in one ear and out the other again. Yeah, I know. No, we don't. If we knew, we'd be down on our knees and we would be praying so that we can cooperate with the grace and be conformed to Christ. That's what we have to be about. So look at the disposition. Look at the disposition you have when you come up to receive communion. Look at the disposition you have when you go home. Look at the disposition you have when you sit down to pray. Are we really seeking the disposition of Christ? Do we have that charity that our Lord has for us? That's what He wants. All grace comes from the cross. All grace comes through the Holy Eucharist. He's giving us the cross in our lives. Each one of us has a cross to carry, whatever that may be, and there may be multiple. Each one of us also has the gift of the Holy Eucharist to be able to receive all that grace. So the cross becomes the tree of life for each one of us, and we have the fruit of the tree of life, so that we can continue to be conformed to the Lord who is life itself. All those graces are there for every one of us. It is now our task to have the disposition to cooperate with that grace and be conformed to Jesus Christ.